You're listening to Wholesaling Inc. episode number 1460.
I'm like, let me go outside and I'm gonna call the title company and see what the deal is. And I'm going to call my attorney and I'll be right back in. So I go out of the library. I call the title company. I already knew what my attorney was going to say. So I go back in and I sit down and I'm like, listen, you have to sell me the property. I wish it were in my control. I want you to get as much money as you can for the property, but this is out of my control. I have investors. I have other people involved that have now put money. We've paid for title searches. We've paid for lien searches. And the guy that offered you 190 may not even be able to pay you 190.
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling.
Welcome to the Wholesaling Inc. podcast. I'm your host today, Brent Bowers, and today I have Matt Rochelle on. He's a good friend of mine from Florida. He's come through the Landsharks method, and he hasn't been around very long. So about maybe 4 months or so, this guy's already busted out 2 land deals. He's going to talk about, you know, the step-by-step, how he found these, how he found his buyer, what he did, even though the realtor's like, listen, there's no developers or builders buying in this area. So he got resourceful and he's going to talk about how he did it. He's also going to talk about some really, I want to call them just next level negotiation skills. And really, these are built with practice. You know, you can't learn Chinese and speak in a day. You're going to have to practice it and practice it and practice it. But he's going to talk about, you know, his second deal, how the seller at the last minute, the final hour, the ninth inning, tried to pull out of the deal. And he was able to save it with these, just a simple negotiation tactic that he used. So I hope you get a lot from this episode today. Let's jump right in. Matt Rochelle, welcome to the Wholesaling Inc. podcast.
Hey, man. Thanks. Glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here, too. I'm excited to just chat with you and see what's working right now in this amazing real estate market that we're in. You know, give Rhino Nation a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you're up to, what brought you into real estate.
Yeah, man. I'll give you the cliff notes. I am originally from Ohio. I owned a landscape construction company for like 12 years. We went through the recession, the housing crash, and got beat up pretty good. And then in 2014, I sold that company and started brokering final expense life insurance. So I was going door to door selling in burial insurance to seniors. And I did that for about 4 years. I made a ton of money. It was great, except I have 3 kids and I was traveling all the time. And it got to the point where I was like 30 days in Birmingham and 30 days home. And it was rough. During that time, I moved to Florida. During when I was selling insurance, they wanted to open a new market. So I moved to Florida. And all the travel, man, I was like, I want to find something different. I need to do something different. And I ended up stumbling across a live event for Fortune Builders. Actually, I think a lot of people know who that is. And I got went there and heard about wholesaling and flipping and always was interested in real estate. So in 2016, I got into real estate and I intended on flipping originally, but I had a friend by the name of Bo Hollis who actually left the insurance business at the same time. And he was like, hey man, you should think about wholesaling. And I'm like, they didn't really talk about that a lot. You know, I just paid 20 grand for this course. And he's like, well, just hear me out. So I jumped on a bunch of podcasts, listened to his advice, and then I started wholesaling because it was a quicker, would have made it a much quicker transition from what I was doing to get full-time into real estate. You know, I made a ton of money in insurance, but I hated the job. And when I started doing it, I was coming out of a broken business and I needed to make money. But really, I think most people that have been in a similar situation can understand that the money can only carry you so far. You can make great money, but if you hate what you're doing, dude, I mean, I would get sick on Sunday night. My stomach would be upset. Like, I hated leaving. I missed all kinds of little league games and missed a lot of stuff with my kids. And so I saw a path through real estate, got into wholesaling. We hit the ground running and wholesaled pretty much predominantly from like 2016 till basically 2021. Did great, did a bunch of deals. And then in 2021, because of my background in construction, I decided to start flipping. And that was an interesting decision that I made. It came with a lot of headache that I didn't necessarily want. There's better ways to do it than the way that I did it. I actually built my own crew, had five guys working for me. I was doing a lot of the construction, and so ended up working myself to death. And really, I made that decision because the margins got tighter in the wholesale game. And I felt like I control profits a little bit better if I was flipping, which I could, and I did, and it was good. So then I decided I wasn't going to flip anymore unless it was a wholesale type of situation. And that's still my opinion. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to get back into wholesaling. So I need to figure out what's going on in the wholesaling game right now. So I started listening to the Wholesaling Inc. podcast every day. You know, as I was finishing my first flip, I just put it in the headphones, and put it in the headphones, was listening every day. And one day a week, there happens to be a episode about flipping land. So I started listening to those, and I got curious. I know the single family business inside and out. And I was like, well, this sounds really interesting. So I think a couple of days before Thanksgiving last November, I got on a phone with you and signed up for the Landshark course. And it's been really good. It's something that I could add to my already running business. And I like land, but that's how I got here.
Heck yeah, man. Thanks for walking us through that timeline from Ohio to Florida, from insurance to real estate, to flipping, to wholesaling houses, to flipping houses, to land.
Yep.
Yeah, I couldn't be happier. So, man, I can relate to a ton of that stuff. First of all, let's little shout out to old Bo Hollis. I was talking to him about 2 weeks ago while I was on vacation, and you know, we're about to start doing some land deals together, and we need to talk. We need to talk offline about this. Well, let's maybe not even talk offline. These hedge funds, according to Bo, and he knows hedge funds better. If you ask me how to learn hedge funds, how to get in touch with the hedge funds, immediately Bo Hollis's face comes to mind, along with some other things. You know, also, I just got a shout out of this as well. When he created that bandit sign, whether I don't know if it was a mistake or not, but it said something about a free recorded massage.
Yep.
Call this number, and he went message. He meant to say message, I think. But man, he bought houses from that mistake. So you can make mistakes in this business. Anybody who's wondering what the heck I'm talking about was, we used to do a lot of bandit signs in this business.
Oh, yeah.
And bandit signs are those yellow signs on the side of the road. Well, Bo had a little bit of a typo, I believe. I don't know. Maybe he did it on purpose. But something about a recorded massage. Call me. We buy houses. Recorded massage. And man, his phone blew up. And I know he did a couple deals from that. I know that he netted about 50K or more on that one mistake. So, you know, it's, we call it imperfect action, you know, progress, not perfection in the Rhino tribe. Just take action. So going back to Bo Hollis, you know, he told me that these hedge funds are looking to buy over 1,000 lots in the next 12 months. So they see something going on in this economy that maybe I don't. So it's really interesting, though, that they're going after land now. I mean, just a few years back, they started finally going after regular single family homes. So I like to catch the beginning of the wave, you know, just like with land. No one was talking about land several years ago. No one was talking about land. You look for it on podcasts now, you're going to start hearing about it because success leaves clues. So also, the three kids, man, traveling. I can feel you with that. That was me in the military. I was always away, always training, always preparing for another deployment. And it was just taxing me. You know, I only had two kids at the time. Now I had three. But it's amazing, you know, being able to work from home, make our own schedule. You know, are there some challenging days? Heck yeah. We talked about it before we hit the record button. There's some challenging times, but it's way different than what I used to experience. Not being quite on the road, but just being away all the time in some foreign land or in a field environment training. But yeah, man, I'm glad to see the transition. Let's talk about a land deal. I know that you probably have a bunch of home run house deals, but let's hear that your favorite land deal you've done so far.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite one is actually the first one that I did, which wasn't too long after I started. I started mailing in January, like towards the end of January. And in the beginning of February, I got a land offer letter. I did exactly basically what you said to do. And I think that that's important. I've spent a lot of money on training and mentorship and things like that. I haven't used it all. The most expensive one was the first one I did, which was Fortune Builders. It was like 20 grand.
You popped the cherry on that one. I've heard that's expensive.
Dude, so what I did was I went and got every credit card that I could get in one night. And totally destroyed my credit by the time it was said and done from a standpoint of I went and got all these new accounts at one time. And then I maxed all the credit cards to pay for it because I was transitioning from my other business and I needed cash in the bank to be able to run. So I spent 20 grand on it all on credit cards and I did the whole training, but then I ended up wholesaling. So I never used any of it, none of it. But what it was the catalyst to propel me forward, because without knowing what to do or where to move or just the confidence. And once you spend 20 grand, dude, you're on the hook, like you're committed. And
that's some serious gun to your head type thing. And by the way, I want to make sure like everyone knows the Wholesaling Inc. and the Land Shark, we do not promote that. That is putting someone at financial risk. And thank God you came out of it. I've talked to many people that have spent 30 grand plus with that company. I'm not bashing it and haven't done anything. Obviously you did something. Thank God.
It was completely different though. So it's kind of funny. It wasn't even their course is designed towards flipping, like fix and flipping real estate. And I ended up doing wholesaling, which I basically was self-taught because I had already spent all my money. So I could have did it a better way. And it is a lot of money. None of the products that you guys offer is anywhere near that price point, number one. But the whole point there is you have to do something to get you to move in the direction. If I'm 1000% convinced, if all the training was free, nobody would do anything with it because there's no skin in the game.
Yeah, I just joined another program. I'm always looking for the cutting edge, the competitive edge, whether in fitness or business. And I just paid a outfit quite a bit of money. And honestly, they say this, and I knew this before I signed up, but they said we've done over 800 podcasts. Most of this is out there, but I wanted the fast track. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to spend a year listening to their podcast. I wanted that coach that came with it. And boy, he holds my feet to the fire. I got to check in constantly. I'm thinking to myself, man, what did I get myself into? but I already had results the first 2 weeks. And phenomenal. I couldn't even believe it if they would have told me that was going to happen. It's just because I paid money for this. And you bet every night I've been going to bed late doing this program. It's just, you're right. But I wasn't taking action listening to the free stuff. I don't know what it was. It's like I'm taking my daughter. We're going on a little date together tonight, this afternoon when she gets out of school, I should say. My six-year-old daughter. And we're going to the library. We're going to get some books and we're going to teach her how to read. And it's just going to be me and her. But I bet she's going to be empty. The library. Yeah. It's free. This is free. Like it comes out of her tax money, obviously. But like it's a free resource that no one uses.
Yeah, they're pretty empty. For sure. I guess I was going to talk about my first deal, but I guess I'll talk about my second deal because it went in line with that. So I got this piece of land on a land offer letter again. And I guess this is probably a better one to talk about because I send this land offer letter and it's in an area where there's all these lots that are on the water. And I sent a land offer letter it was $195,000. And somewhere in that range. And she calls me and I answer and we're talking and she's like, basically I called you because I need you to take your price up. And I was like, I'm like so sorry, but I actually need to go in the other direction as we kind of talk through it because it was a bigger lot. So I offered more based on the price per square foot, but it was really weird shaped and it backed up to the water. It was like a pie shape and there was 170 foot of water frontage, which is awesome, except there was no seawall. And some of the properties in there had a seawall. Some of them didn't have a seawall. Some of them had lifts. Some of them didn't. Like I had no way of knowing that going into it. So I explained that and it really is a testament to the power of negotiation because I thought the deal was dead. She had put this lot on the market over a year ago for $375,000. and she had already reduced her price from $375 to $225. I sent her an offer at $195. She says, hey, we need $225. And I said, hey, I need to be at $160. And so I'm like, this deal is dead. And she says, okay, I'll do the $160. I need to sell it. She had her boyfriend is in like a Turkish prison or something. It's a crazy story. So I'm like, okay, $160. So then I start looking at it and running it. And I'm like, oh man, like, I don't even think I can pay $160. I think I messed up. So I get on the phone, I call her back and I'm like, listen, I'm really sorry that I talked to some seawall companies. And I did some research on what it was going to cost to get a seawall in there and everything. And I need to be at $130. And like, I'm really sorry. And I basically approached it like, I'm going to let you out of the deal. Like, I can't do what I said I was going to do. I'm really sorry. Like, I hate it. I wanted to help you out. I understand your situation. I don't want to waste any of your time. And so she ends up going, I can do $135. And I'm like, okay. So she has a son, like an adult son that lives with her that didn't want her to sell the land for whatever reason. And so the first thing I did was make sure she was competent. She was a little bit older. So that's the very first thing that you need to do. You gotta be very careful when you're dealing with any seniors. I'm like, does your son have a power of attorney? You know, do you need help making decisions? And went through the whole process to make sure that I was covered. And she's like, no. And it was in a trust. She had all the trust paperwork. She's good. She's like, but I need you to meet me at the library in Tampa. And so it just so happened that it was a piece of land that was close. She lived close to me, even though the land was like an hour and a half north. And I'm like, okay, I'll meet you at the library. So I meet her at this public library in Tampa. And yeah, dude, there was like not very many people there. You know, there's not a whole lot of people hanging out at the library these days.
Well, first of all, yeah, this must be a tough, tough lady because I mean, you're a big, scary looking dude. You got tattoos all over the place, a biker looking beard. I hope you didn't scare this. Did you scare her off?
No, man. She was really sweet. I wore long sleeves for sure. I usually do when I'm in those situations. And I think it's just a first impression is hard to get back. And so knowing that I have both of my right and left arm are fully sleeved and I want to get them to know me before. So like on a second appointment, I might wear a short sleeve shirt or a polo or something like that. But on a first appointment, I always wear long sleeves. And it's not about whether I think it's right or wrong to have tattoos or anything like that. It's just, especially a lot of times in this business, we end up dealing with the older demographic, right?
Yeah.
Deferred maintenance, or they've owned the property for a long time. And you have to look at it from their perspective. When they were my age, if you had tattoos, you were in the Hell's Angels. You know, you were killing people or selling drugs or moving guns or whatever. So I'm aware of that. But she was sweet. And as we went through that deal, man, I ended up having to meet her at that library. There was a bunch of different various things because there was a trust and a title company needed paperwork. And she didn't use email. And so I couldn't email or any DocuSigns or anything. And so, and then I had to go back and meet with her again to get the intake forms for the title company. So I ended up going to this library like 5 times and meeting this lady at this library. And so we have the deal and I'm like, okay, is there any cash? But this one, I wanted to assign. I didn't want to close on it because it was a high purchase price. And I felt like the margins, if I closed on it and resold it with money cost, et cetera, I felt like it wouldn't be worth tying up the amount of capital based on. Now, if I had a bigger network of private lenders, which is actually right now I'm working on raising capital for a few different things. But if I had a bigger network, I would have done it, but I didn't. So I'm like, I'm having to kind of play the game and I'm like, I'm going to try and wholesale this. So I talked to a realtor that I have up there that I met on another deal that's really good. And she's like, there's not really any builders up there building. It's all like homeowners that are buying. Like, I don't think you're probably not going to be able to like sell it to a developer or wholesale it. And I'm like, okay. So here's what I'm going to do. I got in PropStream and I pulled a cash buyer list of everybody that's bought cash in that neighborhood in the last 2 years. I didn't care whether they were regular people or not. And we called every single one of those people and ended up a guy that bought one of the lots on that street had a brother that lives in North Carolina that wanted to buy a piece of land by his brother. And he had the cash. He pulled it out of somewhere. So anyway, we get a hold of him, and it was kind of one of those handhold. It wasn't an investor. So he's like, well, what's an assignment of contract? And is this legal? And, you know, are we making sure that this is being done right? And so this really helped, because I've done so many home deals that I walked him through it. It's going at a title company. You're going to have a warranty deed. Like, this is the deal. And so we agreed at 150, I'm pretty sure. So I had it at 135. I wholesaled it to this guy at 150, and we're coming up to closing, and we're supposed to close on Thursday. And on Wednesday morning, she calls me and says, hey, can you meet me at the library? And I'm like, what do you want to meet at the library for? And she's like, I just need to talk to you. Can you meet me there? And I'm like, okay, I'm going to meet you. Cause I was going to try and go get a price reduction. So I go to the library, and she's like, I can't do the deal. And I'm like, okay, why can't you do the deal? And she's like, somebody called me last night and they offered me $190,000. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, oh my gosh, man, like, we're supposed to close tomorrow. This guy that my buyer pulled money out of an investment account that he had to pay penalties on. And he had already wired he had to pay like $7,000 in penalties or something to get this money. So now he's at real financial harm, and the deal's starting to blow up. And so I'm like, let me go outside, and I'm gonna call the title company and see what the deal is, and I'm gonna call my attorney, and I'll be right back in. So I go out of the library, I call the title company. I already knew what my attorney was gonna say. So I go back in and I sit down, and I'm like, listen, you have to sell me the property. I wish it were in my control. I want you to get as much money as you can for the property, but this is out of my control. I have investors. I have other people involved that have now put money. We've paid for title searches. We've paid for lien searches. And the guy that offered you 190 may not even be able to pay you 190. Like, it's very common for somebody to come in and put it under contract and renegotiate. And now you're another 3 weeks down the line. You've already told me that you need the money. And I basically just was like, this is how this is going to go. And don't be mad at me, because it's not me, but the people outside of me that are involved in the deal are serious people. And she's like, well, I haven't signed anything. And I'm like, you did. You signed a contract. So I pulled the contract up, and I'm right here. It's a legally binding document. And I have filed a memorandum on your property. So you will not be able to sell this property to anybody else, because it's going to come up like a lien on the property. And unless I release the lien, nobody else will be able to get clear title on the property. And this is how this is going to go. We have two options. We can go to closing tomorrow. You can get your check and you can walk out of there with the money, or you can not go to closing. You have that right. You have that right. But what's going to happen is we're going to fund and be ready to close tomorrow. And when it doesn't close, then my attorney is going to file a demand letter. You're going to get it in the mail. And then we're going to end up in court, because for not me, but all the people that are involved other than me are going to sue you for specific performance. And you're going to end up paying my attorney fees, and you're going to end up having to sell me the property anyway. And so tell me what you want to do. And she ended up doing it. We got to closing, and the whole deal was a mess, but I made 15 grand on it. It was worth going to the library 6 different times. But if you do this business for any length of time, you're going to try and have a seller back out. And there's different ways to handle it. I have let sellers back out of the contracts on multiple occasions. But this was an occasion where we signed a legally binding agreement. She knew what she was doing. And based on the numbers, I'm not confident that the guy that offered her 190 would have been able to close at 190 anyway, because that was like a little bit over the retail number on the lot. So based on all those factors, I don't want people to think I'm out here trying to run over old ladies. But
no, that happens when we've all let sellers out of contracts. And I don't use that word contract until that's actually needed, because I always think, you know, oh crap, gotta get out of this contract, this gym contract. But yeah, when it's time to bring out the big guns, we start talking contract. Yeah. Yeah, if there's no other people involved and it's just simple, easy peasy, then yeah, I've let some go and I could have fought them. But yeah, that one, I would have done the same exact thing, because here's the thing. You probably protected that lady, because I see this too. These guys get these bogus offers, these massive offers, and I know in my mind that there's no, it's an LLC and or assigns. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they even have a purchase agreement.
Yep.
And I'm like, no way. There's no way they can pay that much. And guess what? I've actually went over these purchase agreements, these contracts with these sellers. We'll do a meeting, or I'll meet them at the, you know, meet them wherever if they're close by. And I'll go over it with them. I said, let me see what you got. And these guys aren't even offering an earnest money deposit or $10. And I said, I mean, let me just explain what's going to happen. Just like you did. That's powerful. 3 weeks later, they're going to be asking for a price reduction, or they're going to cancel the contract. We'll be right back where we started. I'm ready to close tomorrow.
Yep.
You know.
And the big thing in that situation, which if anybody takes anything out of this podcast, is if you can defer the heat from yourself, and it really, I may have let her out of the contract if it wasn't for there were so many other people involved. My title company already had money and time. The guy buying it already had paid penalties on his money. He was already uneasy. But in these situations, if you can make it about the people that are around you and not about you, like, hey, I'm on your side. I'm like on your side of the table. I want what's best for you. I'm not going to get angry or hostile, but I just want to explain how this is going to go so that you know. And then you basically end it with, yeah, you guys, you're right. You don't have to sign tomorrow. So here's what it looks like if you do. Here's what it looks like if you don't. You choose. Let me know. And we'll be able to move forward. But it was, the whole deal was just, it was one of those deals where it was like so involved. I met her 6 times. I didn't know if I could sell it. We found a cash buyer. And I learned a couple of lessons there. Obviously, I'm new into the land side of things. And so I'm still learning every day. And I think you should learn every day in any business you're in. But I learned that it's worth going ahead and talking to other people that have bought cash in the area. Like, there was no developers, there was no builders, there was no, like, what you would say, quote unquote, cash buyers. But through somebody that had bought cash, we found another guy that was this guy's brother-in-law or whatever he was, and he wanted a property right there. And so we were able to move the deal as a wholesale deal without having to go to like a developer or builder. I mean, on an infill lot, I think that's the first thing you think of is a developer, yeah, or a builder. Yeah. But anybody that's got the money to pay for it can be your buyer.
That's right. And sometimes those retail buyers will pay even more than a builder or a developer if you walk them through that process. So let me get this victory bell fired up for you. That's your second deal.
Yep.
I want to know, just out of curiosity, how much did you make on the first deal?
Oh man, that one we bought, it's a like 2.15 acre parcel in the southern part of Florida, and I split it. I was looking at it creatively, split it, and we're in the process of selling that on the backside right now. We should be able to sell it for 180. I bought it for 65, and I had some money costs and about 10 grand in between the lot split and having to get the lot cleared. I have about 10 grand. So I'm in, you know, probably 85 or 90 with money costs and closing costs and all that good stuff. So yeah, that was a mammoth deal. That was the very first one I did.
That is so cool. And it sounds like you did it pretty quick. You started in January and you said you got that one into February. So 4 months?
Yeah. Or,
wow. When do you get paid on that one?
That one, we should be, hopefully within the next 30 days, we'll be closed. That's where we're at right now. You never know with these things, but that's the plan.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
of course. Yeah, I looked at
that. We locked and loaded.
I don't want to mention the area you're talking about, because I do remember it from one of our calls. I looked in that area just the other day. Goodness gracious, the amount of land that's selling in that area right now. I don't think you'll have a problem selling, especially if you market. You price it right. What are your projections? What are you projecting, worst case scenario, you'll make on that?
Well, I mean, we have a buyer. Look, like, we have a buyer that we're supposed to go under contract with.
Oh, 80, already?
80 a lot. Yeah. So, or 90 a lot. So that's 180, realtor fees, all that. I could do the math. I mean, you're probably 180, 60, I don't know, 80 grand probably, I think, on that. somewhere around there.
Not a bad day. Not a bad day in 4 months, man. Outstanding. Outstanding, Matt. I'm so happy to see how fast you took action on this. I mean, I knew it when we first spoke. You know, I just saw those tattoos. You told me all the stuff you're doing in houses. All this land is going to be child's play for this guy. Yep. So, Matt, I know you talked about raising funds, doing more deals, working with other people. You know, if someone wants to, you know, partner with you or maybe be that lending partner, or maybe they got some cash in on the sidelines and they want to do deals with you, because I know you're buying this stuff. Like, I mean, you talked about that lady was asking 300 plus thousand and you bought it for less than 50% of what she was asking. How can people get in touch with you if they wanted to do some business with you?
Yeah, man, I'm super a little bit old school. I don't do a ton on social media. I have it, but I'm not on there. So the very easiest way to get a hold of me is just to text or call me. And my number is 727-417-1045.
Heck yeah. Yeah, man, keep taking action. Thanks for sharing all the gold nuggets today. And yeah, Rhino Nation, I hope you took some notes on this one, because, you know, at the end of the day, like, I doubt, Matt, I doubt you started out like this. You know, there's a lot of deals underneath your belt. And every deal, I too learn. And I love it because it keeps it interesting. It really does. It keeps it interesting. Sure. We almost lost a 90. I thought we were going to lose it. Actually, my title agent saved it the other day. And this is the power of having an investor-friendly title agent. It's very powerful. How do you find an investor-friendly title agent? You call the top three home buyers in that area and ask them who they're using. Hey, can you recommend me a investor-friendly title agent? Where do you find these guys? Google, sell my house fast, Tampa, Florida, wherever. But our agent saved a $95,000 net profit deal the other day. But yeah, that woke me up. I was like, oh crap. And what really scared me is I had a partner on with me. Again, the people we're responsible for or with. I was like, holy crap, he's about to lose whatever 95 divided by two is. Yeah. I wasn't really worried about my pocket, but I was darn sure scared for my partner. But she saved it. So here you have it, Rhino Nation. God bless. Thanks for joining us on this episode. And take massive action. Don't be one of those people that just listen to this for education. There's plenty of education out there. We talked about libraries. The theme of this one is the library. I can't wait to take my daughter tonight. Go out, take action. I want you to go to wholesalinginc.com/land. Schedule that call. Fill out that application. You'll receive a call from me, and I'll talk about your real estate investing goals and see if we're a good fit. And I'd love to be honored to coach you. God bless. Until next time, Rhino Nation, signing off.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at wholesalinginc.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe and work personally with one of our amazing coaches. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.